You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Children's Commissioner Andrew Beacroft recently gave an address to the Te Hungaroa Māori o Aotearoa, New Zealand Māori Law Society, annual conference, in which he discussed the failings of the Children, Young Persons and Their Families Act and how the updated Oranga Tamariki Act could make up for these failings. First introduced in 1989, the Act's aims have been described as revolutionary, introducing Māori principles and group conferences involving iwi, hapu and whānau. The Act failed to live up to its agenda, but the updated Oranga Tamariki Act provides a second chance to get things right. I spoke with Andrew about these, first asking him about the aims of the Children, Young Persons and Their Families Act, which was first introduced in 1989.
Oh, in 1989, I think it was, in the context of the time, truly revolutionary. I mean, several things. It aimed to promote a deinstitutionalised approach at the time that was thought too many young people and children, both in care and protection and youth justice, were being locked up. It was to reduce what might be called professional decision making and increase family and wider family and whānau, hapū and iwi participation in decision making. And it introduced the family group conference model for as a mechanism in serious cases where important decisions were required, both in care and protection and for young offending. So it really was a very exciting model, premised on enormous community concern as to how well we were doing at the time, and particularly for Māori on a pretty seminal report known as Pu'au Te Atatū, a daybreak. So I guess the stars configured or aligned and in 1989, the new legislation, which was, I think, in the best sense of the word revolutionary, was passed.
I mean, for the first few years, did it sort of work and then slowly the aims of the Act kind of fell apart, or what happened there?
Yeah, I think there were some high points early. In fact, there have been some high points right through, but I think the real commitment to non-state decision-making and family, whānau, wider family involvement in decisions together with hapū and iwi, while that theoretical commitment was never lost, in practice that wasn't developed. I think there was even there was certainly some strong hints in the Act that there'd be an opportunity for self-determination by Māori and devolution of some decision-making to Māori, and there was opportunity for iwi social services and the like to play a much greater role than actually happened. And I think, as is often the case with new models and new dreams, it became increasingly constricted and restricted, and the resources that were there to begin with weren't so readily available, and it slowly but surely, I think, failed to live up to the legislative design. Actually, I mean, we had a great opportunity then. We've got an even better opportunity now. And I think that was the focus of what I talked about on Friday, that we've got really a second chance for a revolution with the new Oranga Tamariki Act. Even stronger, anyway. All those things are there, but even stronger. I'm quite excited by the possibilities. And my challenge was to the new generation of Māori lawyers and Māori law students to really press on with work that wasn't completed with the 1989 legislation.
So do you believe that looking to the future, the community around the child who has been taken into care by the state will become more involved?
Oh, I think there's every likelihood of that happening. I really hope that it happens. That's, I mean, after all, that's the legislative bottom line. I mean, I think it's over 30 times the threefold or the fivefold formulation of family, whānau, hapū, iwi and wider family are mentioned together. So clearly the emphasis is on participatory decision making, and I genuinely look forward to much more involvement by hapū and iwi. That's the dream, and in fact it's not even the dream, it's in a sense the legislative bottom line.
Well, looking back to the Children, Young Persons and Their Families Act, I mean, what repercussions did this have for Māori children in state care, the Act's sort of, not failure, but not fully meeting its aims?
Yeah, I think you'd look at it in two ways. I mean, I can't speak for Māori, but I could speak for Pākehā and observe what happened in terms of government commitment. And I'm not at all sure that as a system we properly reached out to Hapu and Iwi and ensured capacity building and provided resources for development. I mean, it was always a statutory possibility that Iwi Social Services would be available as an avenue where young alleged offenders could be placed on remand prior to finalisation of their court hearing. But that didn't really develop. I think probably from the Maori side, I mean, we were going through significant treaty settlements. Tribal Iwi bases were being developed. Resource bases were being developed. There was an understandable need to address resource and environment and land issues. I think now, from my observation and through talking with different Iwis, they're certainly committed now to be much more involved in this space. And Iwi around the country are making crystal clear that they want to be involved. But I think those two reasons are probably some of the reasons behind why there wasn't perhaps full delivery on the legislative framework that was envisaged back in 89.
Is the issue that, much like the criminal justice system, Māori are being made to participate in a sort of Pākehā system and a Pākehā way of doing things, and this isn't really improving their situation?
I mean, actually, I don't think that was ever the vision. I think what was really revolutionary about 89 is it envisaged a completely different paradigm, a new model that borrowed, as it were, some aspects from Māori culture. And it was avowedly intended to be culturally appropriate for Māori. I mean, there was opportunity to have family group conferences on marae, to have significant decision-making, well-resourced, with well-resourced care put in place. So I don't think you could say legislatively it was a Pākehā system, and there was plenty of potential there, actually, for it to be a genuine partnership approach and for Māori and Iwi leadership in the field. The new legislation, that's what's exciting, makes it even stronger.
Talking about the new legislation, I mean, how is this different from the old legislation?
Well, it's built on the same fundamental building blocks. The same key principles are there. But I tell you, there are two, if not three, big differences. One is there are three principles that are spelt out that have to be operationalised and put into practice for all children. Not just Māori children, but they're Māori concepts, but they're expressed as being universal and applying to all children. One is mana te maiti, the dignity and inherent worth of a child, and that being reflected. One is whakawhanaunatanga, recognising wider family links, recognising the importance of knowing where someone's come from and identifying wider family. And I think those two are very exciting. The third one is whakapapa, which really talks about multi-generational kinship relationships. So that's those threefold central principles, mana te maiti, whakapapa, and whanaunatanga, they are to be operationalised and made central and apply to all children. And it's quite good in a way to have Māori concepts that are applicable for all children. There's also a specific section in the Act that is explicitly to further the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, where the Chief Executive of Oranga Tamariki is required to implement policies and practices that have the objective of reducing disparities for Māori children and setting measurable outcomes to Māori children and entering into strategic partnerships with Māori organisations and iwi, and to provide regular reviews and robust sets of expectations, information exchange, and annual reporting on what's improving. So there are some much strengthened provisions in the Act, particularly for Māori.
And do you feel the Oranga Tamariki Act will sort of address the disparity between the number of Māori children in state care compared with Pākehā?
The Act makes it clear that that should happen. Whether it does is something that history will reveal to us. But that's certainly the explicit aim. That's certainly the hope. I think it's the hope of everyone working in the system. I mean, 62% of children in care are Māori. slightly more than that who appeared before the Youth Justice System are Māori, slightly more again than that in Youth Justice Custody are Māori. So that's absolutely the unarguable aim. The real challenge now, that's what I was talking about, is for that to be operationalised and for especially a new generation of Māori lawyers, I think there were about 300 or 400 at the conference, to really take the challenge seriously and to be right at the forefront of ensuring that happens. I mean, as key advocates, I think Māori law students and lawyers generally have got a real opportunity here, and I hope they grab it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.